evening. This is the solemn Good Friday service. And thank you all for being with us this evening for the service of darkness. As the candles are extinguished one by one, we think about the fading loyalty of the disciples and the friends of Jesus. Tonight, you are an observer of what the 12 disciples may have experienced on the night that Jesus was taken away and they were alone for the very first time in many years. Each disciple's written thoughts will be shared with you this evening, followed by their candle being extinguished and ending with the Christ candle removed out of sight. Following the benediction, the Christ candle will reappear, be rebuilt, be relit, and carried out as a symbol of the light of Christ's resurrection, overcoming the darkness of the tomb. Please leave the church in silence after the service. The offering plates will be in the back of the church with the ushers. And remember, this day is the sacrifice Jesus gave for all of us. Let us now prepare our evening service, followed by Jesus Walk the Lonesome Valley.
The 3 days of Holy Week commemorate Jesus' burial, crucifixion, death, his lying beneath the tomb. This is a somber time, yet we are Easter people who claim to also be the people of the cross. In all of Jesus' life, he personified love, even in death. Let us remember and anticipate the gift of new life. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, help us to be mindful of those events that occurred in the life of Jesus during the last week in Jerusalem. As we become aware of the manner in which the disciples, the crowd, and others failed him, we pray that we will quicken our hearts that we might not be guilty of the same sins today. Forgive us of those occasions when we have failed to exert a strong witness for you, and guide us that we might be ever faithful, loyal in our devotion and service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This is the night of darkness before the world changed, not only for the disciples, but also for all of us. Jesus has offered the disciples a new covenant. He has blessed the bread and the cup, beginning the journey that would lead to the cross, saving us through his suffering. Jesus went with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Jesus went off by himself to pray, and he asked the disciples to keep vigil with him, to stay awake by the fire. Although their spirits were willing, each time Jesus returned to them, he found them asleep. His hour was at hand, and his trial begins. We go to the Garden of Gethsemane after Jesus has been arrested by the Romans, and we hear the thoughts of Jesus Iscariot.
I helped the Roman soldiers take Jesus away. I betrayed him with a kiss. They paid me 30 pieces of silver. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought that Jesus would reveal himself as the Messiah when they came for him. I thought he would strike down the Romans, freeing us from our oppression. I thought that he would reveal himself before Caiaphas, the chief priest, and the other high priests at his trial. He did none of these things. Even when Peter drew his sword and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear, Jesus told Peter to put up his sword. Then Jesus healed the slave's ear and was taken away. I have given our leader over to those who will punish him. How can I possibly return to my brothers, the other disciples? I have shared bread and wine with them for the last time.
Each of the disciples remembers a moment from Jesus' ministry, remembering the way he was changed by his words, his deeds. On this night, they too are left alone, and each of them wonders what will happen to him and what will happen next. We now hear the thoughts of John.
Oh, the things that he taught us, the things that we learned. I remember Jesus calling people blessed. Blessed are the meek, he said. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. I was blessed from the moment he called me to be with him, and I never realized it. I was blessed as I saw him reach out to those who were hungry, those who were poor, those who were sick, and those who were oppressed. He came bringing words of hope and joy to so many who needed it. I saw how their lives were changed by his words, how they were transformed right before my eyes. Now I'm the one who's poor. Now I'm the one who mourns, and now I'm the one who hungers. Now I need to hear his words just once more. Where do I go from here?
How do you recall in one night all the ways that Jesus has touched your life? How do you recall in one night all the ways that Jesus touched the lives of others? So many wonders, so many miracles. Why did the son of a carpenter care for so many people? The thoughts now of James, the son of Zebedee.
Our journey was long with many peaks and valleys. No matter where we went, Jesus' reputation went before us. There were times when we had to go to the top of the hill to speak to the crowds. Sometimes he had to get into a boat and go out onto the lake for a little way, so that he would not be overwhelmed. One evening, after he spoke to many and healed many, we continued our journey, and they followed. There were too many people to enter the town. They wouldn't have enough food for so many. We didn't have enough money to feed so many. We had only a few loaves and fishes, enough to feed ourselves. Jesus instructed us to break the bread and fishes and give it to the crowd. There were so many, too many for us to feed with the little that we had. And yet, every person who reached into the basket pulled out bread or pulled out fish. There was enough for everyone and even some left over. I hunger to hear his voice once more, to sit and eat with him. I fear that I will never do either.
As the night passes, each of the disciples is left alone with his thoughts, for the first time since Jesus called each one by name. There is no joy on this night, only fear, regret, sorrow, and guilt. Although the disciples heard the words of Jesus, not until now did they begin to understand them. The thoughts of Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter.
Our teacher Jesus met so many people along the way. We went to places where the Gentiles lived. I remember when he met the Syrophoenician woman. She asked him to heal her daughter. At first he refused. She became angry. She challenged him, not for her sake, but on her daughter's behalf. She sought the one she knew who could heal her daughter. Her faith led her to him. And after her challenge, Jesus healed her daughter and sent the woman on her way. On our journeys, we traveled to Samaria. Jesus sat down by the well, the one near our ancestor Jacob. We saw him speaking with a woman who had given him some water. She was so happy. We knew that Jesus had done something for her. He spoke to these women as if they were part of his community. Who will he embrace as family now? Will he ever return to us?
There was so much that Jesus shared. How could the disciples take it all in? This was the first night of what was to come. This was the beginning of the new way. On this night, they could not realize that their time of darkness would not last forever. The thoughts of Thaddeus.
The stories Jesus told us, where could they have come from, if not God? They were so full of wisdom, so full of lessons for us, echoing the lessons given to Moses and spoken by the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah. They were about things we had forgotten, the things we stopped hearing from our priest. The time to change our ways has come. We heard how God seeks to bring the lost ones home, like sheep, coins, or a wayward child, and to welcome us with open arms. We learned how we need only to have a little faith, like a mustard seed, and the Lord will help it grow. We learned that goodness is in all people, even if they are Samaritans. We learned that we must keep a vigil, expectantly waiting for God's return. But on this night, I forgot the message of all those stories. When they came to arrest Jesus, I did not stand with him, and now I am lost. Who will come and find me?
Jesus performed miracles everywhere he went. Blind people were able to see. Deaf people were able to hear. The lame walked. Demons were cast out. Many sought out Jesus, not only for themselves, but for someone that they loved. The thoughts of Matthew on healing.
The crowds seemed to grow each day. Yet somehow, that woman reached Jesus and touched the bottom of his robe. He felt the power go out of him. We thought it was the masses of people pressing in on him, but then the woman identified herself. She came forward and thanked Jesus for healing her. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had faith to believe that Jesus alone would heal her. And though there were too many people separating her from him, she somehow was able to touch the hem of his robe and be completely healed. Even a Roman guard, a centurion, sought Jesus. The centurion spoke of Jesus' authority and recognized his power. He came and asked Jesus to heal his slave. Jesus spoke with him and healed him right then and there. His healing power touched so many, some we knew by name, others who were complete strangers. I wish I had his healing touch now, for I am sick in my heart.
This is the longest night of their lives. The disciples have scattered like leaves on the ground in the wind. It is not known where they have gone, and they fear for their lives. They do not want to be arrested. They do not want to testify before the Sanhedrin. They do not want to be brought before Pilate. They do not want to be with Jesus now. Those who witnessed his greatest miracles are unable to be witnesses for him at his trial. The thoughts of Thomas.
Word came to us that Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, was ill. Although we warned Jesus that the Jews had sought to stone him and that he should not return just then, he decided to go anyway. And so we went with him, fearing for our lives, not knowing what punishment might lie ahead for us. We arrived too late. Martha came out of the village to meet us, to tell us that her brother was gone. Jesus then entered the village and went to Mary. When he saw all of those around him weeping for the loss of Lazarus, he also wept. We thought he would stay and mourn with the family. We thought he would stand by them, offering comfort, what comfort he could. He said, "Take away the stone." He prayed to God, thanking the Lord for hearing him. And then he said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus did. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. Who will stand by Jesus now? Who will comfort him? Who will call Jesus out of the arms of those who arrested him?
Jesus taught wherever he went. Time and again he returned to the temple, which was the center of his faith. It had become a place of iniquity. It was becoming a barrier to the repentance of the Israelites. It needed to be cleaned as the people needed to be cleansed. The thoughts of Philip in the temple.
Day after day, we would listen to him in the temple, and we weren't the only ones there. He recalled the words of the prophets. He brought the law back to life, awakened the law that was in our hearts. He shared with us the words of God and the will of God. He talked of so many things. He brought the stories of our ancestors back to us. He brought the meaning of our covenantal relationship with God back to us. Some call him a great teacher. Others called him a prophet, like the prophets of old. He cleansed the temple of the money changers and all those who bought and sold there. He also cleansed our hearts, helping us to remember the Lord's covenant with Abraham, Moses, our deliverer, our greatest King David, the building of the first temple. He made the temple a dwelling place for the Lord. Where can we go now? For without Jesus, how can we return to the temple?
As Jesus' popularity grew, some were not comfortable with the message he preached and the words he offered. They did not know what to do with this man. They did not know if they should support him. They were blind to what they saw and deaf to what they heard in his teachings, in his healings, and in his ministry. The thoughts of Bartholomew.
Wherever we went, the chief priests and the scribes were there. Some questioned Jesus about the things he said. Some questioned him about the people he healed. Some questioned him about doing work on the Sabbath. Some questioned him about the authority by which he had said things, and he said and did things that he did. There were always questions. They seemed to be at every turn. I do not know why. Someone watched him. Others watched those of us who followed him. Still others watched the people who came from everywhere, wanting to hear him, wanting to see him, wanting to be healed by him. A few counselors, like Joseph of Arimathea, spoke with him as an equal, respected his wisdom, and called him rabbi. What questions are they going to ask him now? What answers do they expect to hear? What answers will he offer them? Why didn't I go with him to face the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What answer would I give them?
Our expectations aren't always fulfilled. The hope of one day can quickly fade. Although the disciples there with Jesus, and they heard what he said, they were not given to understand it. They could not read the signs. They were too caught up in the present to see what would transpire in the future. A thought from James, the son of Alphaeus.
How did it all happen? When did it happen? Wasn't it just a few days ago that Jesus sent us to find a colt? Didn't we come to Jerusalem in the midst of cheers and songs and laughter? Men, women, and children came out to meet him on the road, waving palms in the air. How the loud hosannas rang in the streets. They called him the son of King David. They called him the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee. He had changed the lives of so many. People were healed. People were full of hope. We were full of hope. We felt our world was changing and that a new time was coming. The people were with us. The people were with Jesus. And now, no one is with him. Not even one of us. We have fled from his side, leaving him alone in his hour of need. What shall I do? Where can I go?
Cherish the old rugged cross.
As clarity comes, as the disciples begin to believe, they are left to deal with what they didn't do on this night. For a time, they will be overwhelmed by their regret, by their failure. But in time, they remember the significance of Jesus' life. They remember the significance of this night, of the Last Supper of forgiveness. Thoughts from Simon. This is Zealot.
Jesus spoke of so many things. He spoke of the promise of a kingdom to come. He spoke of a new covenant between our Lord and the people. He spoke of a new commandment of love. My head buzzes as I try to remember all the things he spoke of. Has it only been a few years since he called our names to follow him so that he could teach others a new way? He sent us out to share what we had learned, empowering us to speak to the hearts of others wherever we went. What did he say about the kingdom to come? It was about being born anew, about being born of the Spirit. We were to change our ways, to hear the message he shared and to live it. He warned us to be ready, for no one knew, not even he, when this kingdom would arrive. He tried to prepare us for the suffering that would come. And on this night, he must suffer alone. For when they came to arrest him, I didn't have the courage to go with him.
Well, it is dawn. All of the disciples have now scattered. They fear that they too will be arrested. They are sorrowful, for Jesus has been taken away. Is it possible he will be taken before the Romans? Is it possible that he will be crucified? The disciples begin to be in their own valley of despair. They do not know what will happen to them. They have forgotten the words given to them in Jesus, teaching in his preaching. They have forgotten the miracles he has performed. They have forgotten the love he shared. And on this night, they have lost themselves, although they have broken bread and drunk from this cup. The final thoughts from Peter on the Last Supper.
Jesus called me the rock because when he asked me, "Who do you say that I am?" I answered, "You are the Messiah." Tonight at dinner, after he washed our feet, when he had said that one of us would betray him, I swore that I would not, could not do any such thing. I did in fact deny that I knew him, not once, not twice, but three times. And as he said three times before the cock crowed, "I am no rock." In my fear, I have denied the one that I would have given up everything to follow. In my ignorance, I have lost all that he sought to teach us these past 3 years. I do not know where to go from here. I do not know what will happen. I have failed him. I have failed the other disciples. Oh, if I could only break bread and drink from the cup with him one more time. But wait, maybe I can. For he said that each time we do it, we should do it in remembrance of him. And so I shall. And every time I do it, I will remember this night. I will remember what we have shared.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.